I want to talk to you now about the dynamics as they apply to an operating Thetan. You want to know how you process somebody so as to achieve the highest possible state of beingness. Well, we talked about this subject of operating Thetan, that somebody who could function without any dependency upon a body, your first and foremost study would not be a study of a bunch of techniques. It would be a study of basics and definitions. And it would be very elementary definitions indeed. And the reason why a case level 5 who is not exteriorized has a great deal of difficulty processing somebody who exteriorizes well is because the case level 5 cannot conceive of the simplicity of such a state. And that's all there is to it. He just can't conceive of this much simplicity. Let's take first and foremost what you're exteriorizing and what you're making into an operating Thetan. An operating Thetan is a static. He has no position in space, no wavelength of any kind, of any sized particle. He has no mass. He does not depend to any degree upon energy of any kind. He can tolerate nothingness completely, and that is a nothingness of space as well. He would be able to be anywhere as a finite point or be everywhere as a generalized area at will. He will be able to mock up anything. He would be able to stay on both sides of any argument. And so we discover that anyone at a level of operating Thetan would be as able as he had shed his dependencies on objects, energies, and spaces. He doesn't have to have these things to remember. He does not need a communication system of any kind to remember. And in addition to that, he could be anything at will. You see, you have a static which could be anything at will, and he would go on knowing he was a static. Now, there is your goal in operating Thetan, is simply to achieve as close an approximation of static as you possibly could achieve. Now, let's take up the dynamics. Take these up very carefully. The dynamics are as follows. First dynamic is the dynamic of self. The second dynamic is the dynamic of sex. The third dynamic, the dynamic of groups. The fourth dynamic is the dynamic of mankind, or if one happened to be a camel, would be the dynamic of camels. You see, that is simply the total of species to which a person belongs. That's the fourth dynamic. Does not necessarily mean mankind, although because we are men, we consider that this is men. That's the fourth dynamic. And the fifth dynamic is that of life forms of any and all kinds. Remember, it says life forms. There's mass mixed up with that dynamic. And then there's the sixth dynamic, which is the dynamic of the material universe. And it includes matter, energy, space, and time. And it is the dynamic to that degree. And those four symbols there together make what we call MEST, and it is the sixth dynamic. The seventh dynamic is the dynamic of spirit. Now, this could be any form of spirit or any kind of spirit, mass or no mass. It could be a saint or a demon or a Thetan or any kind of a spirit, individualized or generalized. But we then go to the eighth dynamic, and the eighth dynamic simply is infinity. Turn to upright. And that dynamic is most commonly discussed as the creator, the dynamic of God or the supreme being. And you can so classify it if you wish. It would simply mean an all-creative spirit. Also, somebody else could get very, very philosophic about this and call it cosmic consciousness. But it is simply the allness of everything. And it's a summating dynamic. Now, what do we mean by dynamic? It is the urge or power or force or thought or consideration. Dynamic seems to imply energy, so remember, it can be just a consideration. A consideration exists without energy. Of that particular dynamic toward survival for itself and its symbiotes. What is this word, symbiotes? It just means dependencies, utter dependencies. For instance, we discover that certain trees have moss. And this moss may or may not aid and abet the tree in its survival, but that moss is certainly a symbiote. It depended upon that tree. A first dynamic of the tree with this entirely dependent moss would still be a first dynamic with the moss as a symbiote. All right, you don't have to worry about that. It just makes a more complex picture. But it's just the urge for survival. Now, how would this apply in this physical universe particularly? We could draw it, these dynamics. We could draw this scale of dynamics. We could draw it in this fashion. First dynamic as a small circle. And then outside this first dynamic, a second circle. That would be the second dynamic. Outside that one, a third circle. And that would be the third dynamic, and so on, up to eight circles. Only you would never draw the eighth circle. You would just, everything else you hadn't drawn off the graph paper in all directions would be the eighth dynamic, an undrawn circle. And let's see that an individual goes downscale on these dynamics and then inverts and goes downscale on them again. And then inverts and goes downscale again. And then inverts and goes downscale again, making a complex picture. We start in with the individual with more or less the concept that he is infinity. And this falls away to a point where he conceives himself to be a spirit. And this goes downhill to the point where he has a universe. In other words, he thinks of himself as the thought and the objects of a universe. He thinks of himself as matter, energy, space, time, and thought, right along with it and working with it together. That would be a sixth dynamic. Now, as we go downhill from that, he would get into the concept. You see, this concept each time would include all those numbers below it. He would get into the idea that he was a life form of some kind or another. And now we drop down to the fourth dynamic, and we would discover that he was a particular species. You see? He could be the life of all these species if he wanted to. You see? But he could be life forms in general at the fifth dynamic. And now, by the way, you discover that every once in a while. A thetan has inhabited a wood, and he has been all the wood and all the life in that wood. And he looks upon this on the whole track as a very triumphant and happy time. All right, we go downscale from the fourth to a point where he would have the capability of being all of a group. That is a certain part of the species. See, we're getting smaller. We're getting a more intimate beingness. We're getting a more fixed beingness. We're getting a harder and harder fixation as being something unchangeably. And now we go down to the second dynamic, and an individual would think of himself as something on the order of a family or a unit which perpetuated itself along in time, that is the very intimate family which exists for the purpose of producing new life forms. And then we would drop down from there and we'd find out that he conceived himself to be himself. And the first time that we would hit this, as we came all the way down from 8 to 1, we would have actually the possibility still existing of a full first dynamic, which is to say the individual actually still knows that he's a spirit just doing these other things. And that would be your first scale downward. And when we hit the first dynamic, he'd still know he was himself, but he would merely have these other things. You see, he's taking responsibility for these other things, and he's doing this and that, but he still knows he's himself. He does not think of himself as a body yet. You see, he's somebody running a body. Now, so therefore we have a rather detached and objective state of beingness as we come down that rack the first time. But right after that, we start into a new inversion level. Now, you could plot this either way. You don't have to stylize the plotting of it. It possibly is best understood, however, if we simply invert the dynamics themselves and say right below that one, we get into two. But now the individual is less and less objective about it. He's much more intimate to the thing. And as far as this two is concerned, it becomes sort of an allness of purpose. He's inverting, you see. And now having discovered that he couldn't quite continue himself along that line on the second dynamic, that this wasn't an all answer, he would have a tendency to drop into a third dynamic and try to survive as that third dynamic. His view is not objective. You see, he is the third dynamic. And then we come down to the fourth dynamic, and he's all out for mankind, but we discover the fellow at this stage couldn't be all out for self. See, self is lost up above that someplace. He's just all out for mankind. He's willing to sacrifice himself, but he hardly realizes he has a self at all. And then we get into fifth. He's all out for life. You've seen people in this condition. They're saying, oh, cats are wonderful and life forms are wonderful. Of course, men are terrible. They lose these dynamics, you see, now on this next first inversion. They're losing them one by one, and they're getting the highest state they could reach, you see. The highest state they could reach is we think that animal forms were just wonderful. And now we go down, but man, no good, and groups, oh, utterly unattainable. Sex, ugh. First dynamic, well, I try not to think about myself. That isn't the thing to do. And now as we get downscale, from there we get into the point where he can only be matter, energy, space, or time. You see, you get into the sixth dynamic. He would become, let us say, a nuclear physicist or an editor of science fiction or something. He'd become something on this level. And he would think of himself as a planet, or he'd think of himself as an energy mass that moved clank, clank, clank. You know, you're very mechanical about the whole thing. And you know such people. And Life ran a whole article about them, nuclear physicists. Certain time ago. If you have any doubt about it, go look it up in the library and look at some of those photographs. You know now what I'm talking about when I say an inverted, because this is an inverted sixth. All right, we go downhill from there, and the fellow has dropped below this point, and he has, by this time, on the basis of spirits, if he were to consider himself, if he were exteriorized from a body, he would consider himself a demon or something. We've lost this idea of Thetan or spirit or something of the sort. He'd be a ghost or a demon. Now we go down into the eighth dynamic, and we start to discover the first upper ranks of somebody being utterly mad. His expression of the eighth dynamic would be, I'm God. See that? It's a very small fall from an inverted sixth to an inverted eighth. Very, very small fall. So short that many a physicist has accomplished it in the pages of one book. They start in at the beginning, and they're very objective, and they go through and keep discussing the universe and discuss the universe and discuss the universe, and finally they sort of, the spirit of things sort of slides in there, and then all of a sudden they're talking about, well, God made it all, and they just give up right there. They just skidded that. But they aren't talking about God made it all. They've got the spooky notion by this time that they kind of did, you see, as God. You find these boys in sanitariums. Now, what if we inverted that scale? Now, actually, you can watch each one of these invert. You could draw as many of these scales as you wanted to, and you would see some sense in every inversion that you put in. And between this level to the person becoming inverted God, from up above being just realizing he could pervade or be anything, an infinity of things, that's just two scales, you see. The one is with the one in each case, and one goes down from there, and the other goes up from there. Well, between those two infinities, you could do this trick. You could pull these apart, but you'd take the same scale identically, you see, only you could number it this way. 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In other words, we could notice these tiny inversions taking place on this major scale. So let's just consider a major scale. Just one scale running from 8 to 1, upright and all right, and the other scale running from 1 down to 8, and not so all right. Just like we divide up the scale known as the no-to-sex scale. This is the physical manifestations and the observable characteristics of people as they drop down the affinity scale. They run from a total affinity of knowingness down to sex, and the next knowingness level which they hit is mystery. Well, we can say that that no-to-sex scale simply goes on the basis of know, look, emote, effort, think, symbols, eat, sex. And now we've got, you can always draw these things both ways, we could come down there to sex, and we could say right at that point that right below sex we had another sex, and that it was sex that inverted. You see, and we could go down below that and say we hit our new strata of eating, and our new strata now of symbols, a new strata of thinking, a new strata with regard to effort, and a new strata with regard to emotion, and a new strata with regard to looking and being looked for, and a new strata below that. But that wouldn't be no anymore. That would be mystery. That would be data knowing or something. We can take that as a major scale, see, just twice, and consider the lower one inverted from the upper one. Now, the major difference between these, the upper and lower scale here, the major difference is that the no-to-sex scale upper is predominantly good. An individual can find something good about all these things. And the that's the primary difference which you would notice in practice and talking to people and handling people. You'd notice that a person who was all right could find something good. He wasn't trying to be a Pollyanna, but he just recognizes good things about that upper scale. And now we get this lower scale, the same scale, inverted now, and we find out that each step is predominantly bad. Each one is predominantly bad. You know, sex is bad. Well, that's an inverted sex. Sex is good. That is a not inverted sex. See? So what we mean by inversion. The reason we talk about inversion is it's after the individual has moved off the orientation point, no longer has a point of view, and is not looking and is lost as far as symbols are concerned. He is neither an orientation point. He's really ceased to be a symbol and tumbling around. Well, he's an inverted state. Why we call it inverted? Well, he just moved out. The original reason we call it inverted, however, is because this behavior, these dynamics. And we watch the individual down this dynamic scale from 8 to 1 back up to 8 again, and we recognize that there's something inverted on this lower state. Well, sure there is. Let's take a body on the lower inverted 1. When we turn 1 around, we find out he was a thetan in association with the body, let's say. And let's invert the 1, and now we will discover immediately that he is a body which might possibly, but probably not, has a thetan. And then we get, on that inverted 1, the search for my soul. You see? The individual is a soul, and he is searching for himself. Well, this is silly because he doesn't have any mass. Of course, he'll never find himself either. And the inverted scale, the individual counts on mass entirely, mass and energy to recognize anything, but on the upper scale he has some freedom. Now, why are we going into all this on the subject of operating thetan? It's because we've got to consider simplicities. And this is a very simple arrangement. We find that an individual can occupy as much space as he can be these dynamics. And when I showed you that dynamic expanding with the one as the center circle and the second circle and the third circle and so forth, we mean just how much environment an individual can occupy. When he can occupy that total environment, he's hit the upper infinity, see? Now, how could we actually calculate this? There is a way to calculate it and even recognize it on an inversion. That's the most curious thing you ever saw. If you start to spot spots in space, you could actually draw this in major proportions, these circles, in major proportions, and lay them down over an individual's head and have them extend clear on down 5 blocks in that direction and 5 blocks in the other direction, you know? We just lay these big circles as zones. The point that he spots with certainty from the spot he would be in would be the dynamic which he was hitting. Now, of course, you'd have to have some degree of exactly how big these circles would be in order to make that exactly. But we are measuring with exactness at this point. He can spot a spot 10 feet away from him with certainty, but a spot which is 12 feet away or 15 feet away is very dim, very hazy, and indistinct. You see that? When we have laid out these concentric circles around the head of our preclear, we have actually laid out the dynamics. And if he can only spot 10 feet and everything is uncertain beyond that, this would mean he's probably in some kind of an inverted scale, because this would be the main test. He's sitting right where he is spotting these spots. Now, maybe he could sit right where he is and spot a mile. This is all right. He would be on the inverted scale, however. He's sitting right where he is, and he's able to spot a mile. The test is the inverted scale he cannot exteriorize. He is interiorized. That's an inverted scale, and that's sure manifestation. See, the individual is not in horrible condition, particularly, as Homo sapiens goes. But if he's on an inverted one, he's not very far downscale. He's simply stuck in a body. This doesn't mean vast things are wrong with him. But if he's stuck in a body, he's on an inverted one. Just that's that. And if he sits there in the body and spots a spot 10 feet away from him with certainty, and so forth, well, he's probably on an inverted one, two, something like that. Because these concentric circles are very easy to plot. Very, very easy to plot. And it's just the distance. Here we're looking straight at the distance factor in the communication formula, which is cause, distance, effect. And that communication formula gives you the distance formula. Well, all right. You'd say then, as it came closer and closer to the individual, that he would be spotting further and further. Well, this is an inverted scale, and this is why it's called inverted. When you draw these circles and drop them over the head of the individual, the fellow who is interiorized, and while interiorized, can only spot 2 feet from his face. I hate to say this. This is liable to hang a case. But the truth of the matter is, the fellow is stuck somewhere around the seventh or eighth dynamic. Because when we invert this scale, the first concentric circle becomes eight. And the next concentric circle becomes seven. And the next one out becomes six. And the next one out becomes five. And if this individual could sit inside of his body, and he's in good shape and exteriorizes easily, you see, but he's sitting inside of his body, and he can spot over here an infinity, he's on an inverted one. You follow me? Now, he can spot clear across the universe while he's sitting in his body. That's a pure state of inverted one. Well, of course, there is a state where the individual can't spot out of his body at all. And actually, we include that in the category of eight, and we find this fellow in the sanitariums. He not only cannot exteriorize, but as he sits there with absolutely no space of any kind around him, it's all mock-up space of some sort, he's liable to think of himself as God or some such thing. As we invert this, we exteriorize him, we would test it this way. He is easily exteriorized. He can be 3 feet back of his head. All right, you've hit the first dynamic on a straight-up one. He knows he is a spirit. He knows he doesn't have mass. So, well, he just exteriorized in good shape. All right, but he can be 3 feet back of his head or 10 feet back of his head, and this is very comfortable. You've got a straight-up one, non-inverted. This fellow's on the first dynamic. He can occupy that space as himself at no great distance from a body. But the point of it is, its body stops having any relationship right here. Its fact that he's still using a body and so forth doesn't have any bearing on it. The point is, he thinks of himself as a unity which cannot operate in any other fashion than a unity. And that's what determines the next dynamic up. If he thinks of himself and realizes that he can perpetuate himself into the future, that he will go on into the future, you have hit a true second. A thetan cannot do anything else but survive, so therefore he recognizes that he will go on surviving no matter what happens to him. This recognition alone gives him path into the future. Also, when he recognizes that, there's a little more freedom, so he can occupy more space. He can also reach more space easily. Now we get to the third dynamic. He's able to be two or three things at once. He can be a body. He could be a thetan. He could be a car. You see? He could be a couple of other thetans. Group, in other words, one sort or another. See? He could be all these things. He's capable of being a third dynamic. All by himself. All right? He could be a total species if he desired to be so. But we're dealing with space here, aren't we? What would determine that? It would be the thoroughness of occupation of space, but it would again be the distance that he could trust himself to be at from himself as a thetan. He can sit here and is perfectly confident that the duplicate of himself
two or three light years away, is totally functional. See? He doesn't have any further worry about it. He can duplicate himself, in other words. The second dynamic was the condition. Actually, a person stays inverted to some slight degree in various ways and depends on a body until he learns thoroughly that he can perpetuate himself. Well, also, he can perpetuate himself simply by duplicating himself and knowing as much as the duplicate, just as a thetan. He would be able then to be other things and have awareness and knowingness of himself being those other things and be himself at the same time and not abandon his knowingness. You've got him up to a third, fourth. Now, as far as a fifth is concerned, he could just be an enormous menagerie as far as that's concerned. He could be a couple of planets worth of life. And now we go up to the next dynamic. Their condition at that point is, could he make a universe of his own? Could he? Well, he's certainly way up there if he can. He's up there to the sixth dynamic, straight up sixth. And now we go upscale again, and he would be able to exist without any universe whatsoever, or he could create one, but he didn't have to, and he'd have a total knowingness, no dependency on energy, so forth. He is finally and completely disassociated from energy. Okay, that's an interesting scale. Well, now, you don't have to write down anything about that if you just know this scale. You know that the second you get somebody exteriorized with certainty, we are now looking at a straight-up set of dynamics. And it's the first time we've looked at a straight-up set of dynamics with this individual. We would have to then run some sort of a drill to get him to duplicate himself with some security. In other words, he could be himself on this side of a foot rule and be himself at the other side of the foot rule, too. He would also have some certainty as to being able to survive. Now, many drills could be used for this. You could simply have him walk himself up dead as a thetan many times or something like this. Just get him over the idea that he's going to perish as a thetan. And you have accomplished that, too. Get him over the idea that he's going to perish as a thetan, no matter how you do it. Get him get the as-isness of things or describe how he feels about his perishability or any way you want to do this. We get it up to the third. And as soon as we got it up to the third, we have to go in for the actual handling of several bodies. So let's have him be able to handle several kinds of bodies. One of the best things to start in with would be something on the order of domestic or wild animals of some small stature, size, something that's not very appalling, something safe like a rabbit or an ant or something. And we get him so that he can run one of those bodies very, very thoroughly. And he knows he can do this. We could then get him up to a point where he could run a couple of them, and then he could run three or four of them. You'd be surprised how he'd cheer up about that point. He can make four ants walk along side by side, and they can't do anything about it. They're just walking along side by side. He gets to be a real cheerful fellow about this point. This seems to him to be a very nice idea. You have him run bodies of this kind numerously, and you've already gotten him up to a point where he could handle a group. And you'd find, oddly enough, that something else had taken place. He was willing to be any side of anything. He could take any argument against himself that he wanted to. He could argue against himself, for himself, and parallelograms. Now, we got a fourth. Why, he could take over all the ants in Brazil. All the ants in Brazil. Now he got up to a fifth, just be all the life in Brazil. And a sixth, well, what do we got on a sixth? There we get into the universe drills, which you learned about in the Doctor Tapes Philadelphia. And when we got up above that point, our next stage up from the line, is he could be or monitor various kinds of spirits, souls, or beings at will. He could handle spirits, in other words. And this would include a very, very good ability to communicate with other thetans. Of course, its communication with other thetans cuts in very heavily on the seventh dynamic straight up. And if you take him up above that, why, it's your adventure. I've told you all I know.